You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. And it is another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network for this Tuesday, February 20th into Wednesday, February 21st. Matt Derry with you on this midweek day. Kind of rainy, kind of ugly out there, but very, very warm. Feels like baseball weather out here as we talk some Detroit Lions with you each and every day right here on Locked On Lions. Thank you for listening today, whether you are doing so on Megaphone.fm, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, however you are listening to the podcast. Thank you for doing that. Thanks for participating as well. Your tweets always welcome at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page as well. We had an interesting show yesterday talking about the five untouchables that the Detroit Lions really have on their roster. Got some feedback from some of you about Matthew Stafford, Darius Slay, Taylor Decker, Glover Quinn, and Golden Tate being on my list of the five guys that the Lions cannot lose, cannot trade, cannot cut, nothing. Five untouchables that must be with the Lions both next year and in the future. Stafford, Slay, Decker, Quinn, and Tate. I know Nathan Litke wrote into me on Twitter today and said, love the untouchable list from yesterday's podcast. Question, though, what has happened to Miles Killebrew? He has seemed to vanish, and where does he fit on the team now with Diggs moving to safety? Well, yeah, I mean, Miles Killebrew, I think, still has a chance to really help this team and be a good player. And with the way that the Lions, or excuse me, the way that Matt Patricia, the new coach of the Lions, used multiple defensive backs and many defensive backs, sometimes five at a time on the field, he started games with four down linemen, two linebackers, and five DBs. I think Miles Killebrew will play some, but Quandre Diggs outplayed him and earned that starting strong safety spot at the end of last year with Tavon Wilson hurt, and Diggs didn't want to relinquish it. There's nothing like competition, that is for sure. So Nathan tweeted in, a lot of others as well. We had a lot of feedback on Ziggy Ansah, and we'll continue to get into that today. Jeremy Reisman, the managing editor, the man in charge of PrideOfDetroit.com, an excellent Detroit Lions blog, will join me momentarily. We'll talk to Jeremy about the Ziggy situation, what he thinks of franchise tagging Ziggy. Everybody's weighing in. Dave Burkett at the Free Press, Mike Rothstein at ESPN. A lot of people just saying, yes, Lions have to tag him. Lions have to tag him. Lions have to keep him. Kind of going the opposite of what I think, which is if you let him walk, so what? I just don't think he's that good of a football player. And I think paying him $17.5 million is way too risky and way too much. I don't want to be kicking the can down the road and franchising him like the Lions did with Ndamukong Suh. Then they lost Sue. To me, I'd offer him a long-term deal and keep it something semi-reasonable. And if he doesn't take it, goodbye. I think the Lions need to build that defensive line with fresh bodies, new players, new people. If you can get Adrian Claiborne or Trent Murphy for less, do it. I don't think Ziggy Ansah is this big impact guy that, for a former first-round pick is. I know he's had a couple of very good years. I know he had a dominant year two, 3 years ago. But the last 2 years, he's been injury-prone, and when he's been on the field, he hasn't been that great. And 9 of his 12 sacks this year came in 3 games. All 3 against very weak opponents and very weak left tackles that he went up against. We'll get Jeremy Reisman's thoughts on it momentarily. Some news about the Lions today. And look, as a Syracuse graduate of 1995, I'm kind of laughing at this. Syracuse football is not exactly Alabama, Michigan State, Georgia, Clemson, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Florida State, USC, okay, Texas, well, at least what Texas used to be, all right? Syracuse football is very important, and one of the reasons why, yes, that the school moved into the ACC, because football drives the bus, football brings in the most revenue for TV, I understand. And there's only, you know, a handful of games, unlike in basketball, which Syracuse is a basketball school led by James Arthur Boeheim, that they play over 30 games. But Syracuse has just continued to churn out Lions assistant coaches and head coaches like it's going out of style. Remember, Matt Patricia was a grad assistant at Syracuse. Defensive coordinator Paul Pasqualoni was the head coach at Syracuse for many years and had terrific seasons in the 90s. Well, today the Lions have announced that they've hired University of Maine offensive line coach and run game coordinator Brian Pacucci. All right, good old number 36, the former fullback and tight end when I was in school back in the early to mid-90s. Brian Pecucci will be the offensive assistant coach in charge of quality control. Another former Syracuse guy. That now makes seven former Syracuse players or assistant coaches on the Lions coaching staff, which includes Coach P and David Walker and others who Matt Patricia has brought on to the staff. So I guess you could kind of make this joke about it, and we can laugh and say, oh yeah, the Lions are like Syracuse Central. They are. Chris White, tight ends coach, was a Syracuse guy. Paul Pasqualoni, we know, was a Syracuse guy. Who am I forgetting? David Correo, director of football research, Syracuse guy. David Walker. So the list goes on and on. So if you want to call them the Syracuse Lions, if you want to put like some orange accents in Bubbles the Lion, go for it. But yes, another Syracuse, former player from Syracuse, former assistant coach at Maine, is now going to help with the run game. Brian Pecucci coming over from University of Maine, another hire on Matt Patricia's staff. And I'll say this about it. This means that Matt Patricia really, really, really has been leaning on and already is leaning on Paul Pasqualoni, who, of course, is nearly 70 years old, has a lot of experience both as a head coach at Syracuse and UConn, as a defensive coordinator in the NFL, including with the Dallas Cowboys. So Paul Pasqualoni, who's going to be the Lions defensive coordinator, certainly had a big impact on Matt Patricia, so much so that Matty P is hiring a lot of Coach P guys to round out his coaching staff. All right, before we talk to Jeremy Reisman from PrideOfDetroit.com, I love those guys. I got to tell you about what's going on at the Locked On Podcast Network. We are adding not only all the NBA teams, all the NFL teams, but now Major League Baseball teams are starting to trickle in on the Locked On Podcast Network. For example, the Cincinnati Reds. If you're a Reds fan, Locked On Reds will be with you each and every day. So check out all the podcasts, including Locked On NFL Draft with Trevor Sikkema and John Ledyard. All of the teams you want, Locked On Pistons with Matt Shook, are all right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. As promised, let's bring him in right now, managing editor of PrideOfDetroit.com. I think the best Lions blog that's out there in daily content. You want to check those guys out. From a POD, it is Jeremy Reisman joining me. What's up, Jer?
How's it going, Matt? Thanks for the kind words.
Yeah, no problem, man. How's things at the site?
Not too bad. A little slow on the news, but I think it's about to pick up a little bit.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Plus, it's like it's the Syracuse Lions.
Absolutely. It's bizarre. They're building a team that's meant to run the ball in the early 1990s.
I know. I love it. David Walker, Brian Pecucci, all they need is a couple of tight ends. Bring Chris Gedney back, and it'll be kind of crazy. But I guess I said this before you came on, Jeremy. I think this shows that Coach Pasqualoni has had a huge influence on Matt Patricia and is going to have a big voice in that locker room, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I know that probably has a couple Lions fans shaking their boots a little bit. He's not that well regarded of a coach, at least at the professional level, but he's obviously someone that Matt Patricia trusts, that Bob Quinn trusts. So, I mean, they're building that kind of coaching staff that all has some sort of weird connection to each other, and that's something that the Patriots did a lot, and it kind of protects you in case your coaches eventually get poached. You have that guy kind of in the waiting. And so there is good to it, even though it feels a little bit of, you know, just kind of hiring your friends type of deal.
All right, Jeremy Reisman with me from PrideOfDetroit.com. I've read everything you guys have written about it. I've talked about it ad nauseum. And we're at the day today where the Lions, if they wanted to, on Tuesday, February 20th, could slap a franchise tag on Ziggy Ansah. They've got a couple of weeks here to make up their decision. Where do you stand on this? I'm not that big of a Ziggy fan. I think he's been invisible for much of the last 2 years. Would you be paying him, Jeremy, $17.5 million to stay?
Man, it's one of the tougher decisions I think Bob Quinn has ever had to really face. And I can really see both sides of it. I'm kind of the ilk that they have to, and I know that's kind of you never want to be forced into a decision, but I do really think that Ezekiel Ansah has the talent and has showed it at times to be one of the best edge rushers in the league. And it's not just about his pass rushing skills. It's not just about the sack numbers. He's also been one of the best run defenders for the Lions. And then I have to throw in the qualifier, when healthy. And obviously that's the biggest key here. Will the Lions be able to get a full full year of production out of Ziggy, and that's the question, because if you do get a full season of healthy Ziggy, I think he's absolutely worth the 1 year franchise tag. But that's a huge if. I'm willing to concede it's a huge if.
Oh yeah, no, and you bring up a full season. Full season of Cam Jordan, the amount of money that the Saints are paying Cam Jordan would be peanuts compared to what they would tag Ansa with. Brandon Graham's only making about $5 or $6 million. And it's not like defensive ends. And yes, the run on defensive ends in free agency here, Ziggy, of course, is near the top after a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence. But would you be paying him double, triple what those other guys are making? No way. But again, like you said, Jeremy, there's not much behind him on this roster.
Yeah, there's really nothing, and like you said, there's really nothing in free agency there. No one really comes close to me. I think DeMarcus Lawrence gets the franchise tag. I think that leaves the Lions with really no other options in free agency, and then you're kind of forcing yourself into a position where you have to take a defensive lineman early in the draft or 3-4 outside linebacker. And I just don't think that's a good situation to get yourself into. The draft doesn't always fall your way. I think the Lions actually got a little lucky last year because they were kind of in that same position with linebacker where they absolutely needed to get one with their first or second round pick, and Jared Davis happened to fall to them. But you can't general manage that way. You need to leave yourself with options, and if you have to overpay a little bit for Ziggy, then I think you have to do it.
Jeremy Reisman with me from Pride of Detroit. Are you an Adrian Claiborne fan? I loved him at Iowa. I know he's moved to the outside, and he's a guy that I think would probably rank just a little bit behind Ziggy in terms of numbers. But to me, I don't think he's going to command the same type of money that Ziggy would. And from the Lions, I'd look at a guy like that before I looked at Ziggy just because Ziggy's not on the field.
Yeah, I mean, Claiborne has his own injury history, too. He's been on IR two or three times, I think, in his career. And it's hard to judge his sack numbers in 2017 when he had that amazing six-sack performance. But I don't think he's really anywhere near the talent level that Ansa is. But you do bring a good point. Like, he's certainly going to come a lot cheaper. And I was reading up on him with our sister site, The Falcoholic, the Atlanta Falcons SB Nation blog. And they think maybe you can get him for $3, $4, $5 million a year. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing the Lions tagging Ansa and going after Claiborne, getting both of them. He, to me, is a guy that could certainly be a rotational guy. I don't think he's starter-worthy necessarily, but if the Lions can kind of bolster, not only retain their own guy, but bolster their rotation a little bit, I'm all for that.
It's interesting because, and you bring up a good point, if Claiborne doesn't command the kind of dollars that Ziggy might, and they could, and they wouldn't, maybe let him walk based on going about things the Patriot way. New England never. I mean, New England let Chandler Jones walk. They let Vince Wilfork walk. I know he was a nose tackle, but I'm just using him as a defensive lineman example. The Patriots never threw a lot of money at their pass rushers and did it by committee and got enough pressures on the quarterback to be successful. Could you see a scenario where the Lions pull kind of a Belichick and say, go get your big money somewhere else and then sign a couple of fringy guys or a Claiborne for a lot less and then fill out the roster that way?
Absolutely. I actually just put out an article today that argued that exact point based on Greg A. Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. He basically tells this story every year to Patriots fans. Patriots fans clamor every single year. They need a premier pass rusher. They need a premier pass rusher, but they never spend the resources on it. Just like you said, Chandler Jones is like the only first-round draft pick they've spent on a defensive end in years. They usually wait until the second or third day, we're talking third round or later, before really commanding resources to that position. And like you said, same in free agency. And I could see that happening in Detroit because it's exactly what happened last year. Everyone was clamoring for a defensive end earlier in the draft or, going after some of the small amount of free agents that were out there. Lions didn't do that. Instead, they settled on Cornelius Washington and, a couple undrafted free agents and Jeremiah Valuaga and Alex Barrett. Maybe that's Bob Quinn taking over the Patriot way to Detroit. It totally makes sense, and now they have a head coach that's used to kind of taking those second, third grade level free agents and turning them into what has been a top 10 sack defense for the Patriots for the past 5 or 6 years.
Jeremy Reisman with me from prideofdetroit.com. I think you and I are in lockstep on one thing, and that is defensive end is a must. And you're right. When they broke camp last year, or not even broke camp, when they ended the preseason last year, you looked at that 45 man roster at the start of the year, and you went, wait a minute, who were some of these guys? And Alex Barrett then got cut. You know, Valaunga played some, but couldn't get to the quarterback. They rotated a ton of different guys in there. George Johnson, some Ringo guy. I mean, they tried just about everybody at defensive line last year, and that did not work. I don't think they had enough pressure on the quarterback. So regardless of the situation with Ziggy, they've got to add guys, like you said, even if they brought him back.
Yeah, and then maybe it turns out to be more of those second-tier guys, third-tier guys. Maybe they're just hoping that Matt Patricia can do what Terrell Austin didn't and turn these Cornelius Washingtons into 6, 7, 8 sack guys where they were just barely contributors at all last year. It's hard to know because every tendency that you have when you look at this roster is how is defensive end not a top two need? But then you look at the history of all these guys and you just wonder, maybe they're fine with these kind of mid-tier, lower-tier guys and spending their money elsewhere.
Saw a new name in free agency that the Lions may be after. I know Ben Volen, one of the writers that covers the Patriots, floated out, hey, maybe Deion Lewis would head to Detroit. What are your thoughts on that?
To me, it just doesn't seem like that good of a fit. I definitely get the Lions' need for a running back, and Deion Lewis obviously has the connections there, but to me, he's just a bit too similar of a back to the guys that they already have. I don't think the Lions are moving on from Amir Abdullah this year. I think they're going to give him one more shot, not necessarily as a starter, but as a contributor. And Theo Riddick kind of brings the same qualities, too, and I don't see him going anywhere, considering his contract is still fairly team-friendly. So Deion Lewis, to me, just isn't really the guy that I see as the best fit in Detroit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that was a very, very similar guy to Abdullah and Riddick. You're spot on in terms of catches the ball to the backfield, not an every down back. I think the Lions have to go in that direction. I don't think there's any question about it. All right, Jeremy, what other spots, as we're kind of getting close to the combine next week, when you hear names that the Lions are talking to in terms of positional players, besides obviously defensive ends and probably defensive tackles too, who else should the Lions be talking to next week? Not specific players, but maybe specific positions.
Yeah, I don't think anything is necessarily off limits, but obviously the Lions have a big decision waiting with Travis Swanson, whether he's going to be coming back or not. So I would definitely look at the Lions kind of keying in at either center or left guard, depending on what they do with Graham Glasgow. I think tight end might be a position of need that people haven't really thought about too much. Eric Ebron's future is obviously still up in the air, and we didn't really see Michael Roberts break out as I think maybe some Lions fans wanted him to. And then I think this team's also kind of in the market for linebacker still. I know they drafted 2 last year, but they don't really have a lot of depth behind there. And if they move to more of a 3-4 based defense, you're going to need some outside linebackers. And I don't necessarily think outside of maybe Brandon Copeland, they have that guy that can rush the pass from a 3-4 outside linebacker position.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. Certainly linebacker, you know, Jared Davis did not have a great year, but was a rookie and had to play a very important spot right there in the middle. I would be walking away from Tyhear Whitehead and saying goodbye. I'd be saying goodbye to Travis Swanson too, based on the injuries and, you know, the great amount. And he's not a great run blocker, and this team needs to be moving other teams' bodies on that line. I think the question is with Glasgow, is right, is he a center or is he a guard? But to me, I'd be moving away from a Travis Swanson and maybe drafting a guy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you in lockstep with Travis Swanson. Tahir's another really tough one that I don't really get a sense of which way the Lions are leaning. The one thing that he does bring is just experience. He's a veteran at this point where the Lions don't really have that. But then again, he's a veteran in a system that's no longer going to be in place. So it basically anything on defense is just kind of a crapshoot because, as Matt Patricia said in his press conference, he doesn't have a system in place right now. He doesn't have a 3-4 or 4-3 alignment that he's locked into, which means the Lions could really be targeting any kind of defensive player and potentially it being a fit.
You know, when I watched the Super Bowl and I kind of watched it again just to key in, the one thing that I noticed for both teams with Philadelphia and New England, and the Lions are not at Philly's level or New England's yet, but both teams up front just maul people. You know what I'm saying, Jeremy? And it's like, to me, that's where the Lions at 20 have got to get it. Even if it's a D tackle, you know, my guy Tua from Washington, I just love. If there's any of those types of guys that are there at 20 that can get to the passer but also clog up things, you know, Philly's offensive line after losing Jason Peters was still dominant. The Patriots' offensive line after all those years of letting Mankins walk and other guys leave, and having Waddle, L.A. Waddle, have to play. Still protect Tom Brady and move people. So I think if Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia look at the model from what, from the best two teams this year, it's got to be up front early in the draft.
Yeah, and since Bob Quinn has been here, that's kind of been the model. He obviously went out and got Taylor Decker with his first draft pick ever, and then last year went really hard on the right side of the line in free agency. And it's really something the Lions have been trying to do for some time now. I don't think Martin Mayhew got as many success stories as he would have liked, you know, missing on guys like Lakin Tomlinson. But offensive line has been a huge priority since Bob Quinn got here, and it's paid off in parts, but this is still obviously a team that's getting Matthew Stafford sacked way too many times. It's a team that obviously doesn't have a running game that can average more than 3.5 a carry. Offensive line, I think, will continue to be that kind of priority until they can get it fixed around. And the one thing that they changed this year, too, is obviously the coaching staff, and hopefully that, in combined with a fair amount of roster turnover, will finally get them on the right track there.
All right, Jeremy, appreciate the time. We always read you guys. You know that at POD. You and your staff do an excellent job, and we'll stay in touch, sir.
I appreciate it, Matt. You guys always do a great job here, too.
Real pleasure to talk to Jeremy Reisman. There he is from prideofdetroit.com. And if you haven't read their blog and gone to their website, it's just really, really good. Anything that is ever breaking with the Lions, if the Lions are even mentioned in another city's newspapers or links to any websites, POD picks up on it. Their writers, Jeremy and Alex, the whole crew that are over there, all the guys, they immediately respond to it. And I love the work that prideofdetroit.com does covering the Lions. And the Lions like them, too. Lions are constantly retweeting some of their stuff and writing back to them on Twitter and quoting some of their stuff. So give the folks and Jeremy Reisman a look at prideofdetroit.com. Right, that'll do it for another edition of Locked On Lions right here on this Locked On Lions Tuesday, February 20th into Wednesday, February 21st. Man, you know, it's weird. I'm looking at my Twitter right now, and it says who to follow. Who to follow on Twitter. And it says at Donald Trump and at Nancy Pelosi. What is going on with my Twitter today? What is happening? Has politics taken over? Oh, man. Well, I hope you guys enjoy this warm weather. Thanks to Jeremy Reisman for joining me from POD, from prideofdetroit.com. If any news breaks on Ziggy Ansah, we'll be all over it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on Locked On Lions.